You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a new lecture series underway in Spring Green honors the life of a late UW-Madison dean. We'll talk with his spouse about the lectures and the conversations they're going to bring to the community. First, FBI Director Christopher Wray told a U.S. Senate committee today that, quote, there is no country that poses a more severe counterintelligence threat to this country right now than China. The FBI is asking research universities to come up with plans to keep a close watch on students and scholars from China. According to NPR, the agency has visited at least 10 members of the Association of American Universities, that's a group of 62 research universities, with a list of Chinese research institutions and companies. The agency says it keeps in regular contact with various groups, organizations, businesses, and academic institutions regarding national security issues. Universities are not required to comply with this request. Fred Kate is vice president of research at Indiana University. He specializes in information privacy and security law issues. Fred, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, your school, I understand, was a school contacted by the FBI. What do we know about what the FBI is looking for from universities?
Well, I think the FBI is looking for a lot, but I don't know that they're incredibly clear quite yet on what that is. So they're understandably worried about whether foreign influence is somehow either affecting U.S. research or taking away the benefits of U.S. research. The big focus, as you said, has been on China, and so they're both looking at types of research, but also looking at Chinese students, Chinese scholars, and visiting Chinese faculty who might be on campus.
And this happens pretty often. There are a lot of students and researchers who come from China and pair up with research institutions here or study here. This is pretty common, right?
It is very common. And it's, if you look across many, particularly STEM disciplines, but like computer science and things like that, across the country, we have a lot of Chinese students and we have a lot of Chinese faculty and Chinese visitors. It's a very important area, a very important area of collaboration.
What kind of areas does the FBI seem to be interested? As you mentioned, it is kind of vague, it appears, at this point, but it doesn't seem like they're focusing on particularly sensitive types of technological research.
Well, so far, we haven't gotten a sense of a real focus at all. And I should say Indiana University doesn't do classified research or research that would typically be subject to any secrecy provisions. The focus instead has been a lot of attention on the nationality of these people, and this is of course just a challenging issue. We, like almost all universities, but as a public university, we're open. Anyone's welcome here. You can come use our library. And it's very difficult to think of sort of trying to monitor students or monitor visitors to campus. That's quite different, of course, from if we had a particular sensitive facility, in which case we might restrict access by everybody who doesn't have a legitimate reason to be there.
Does an invitation from the FBI to in some way monitor some of these students and researchers from China conflict with what you see as your mission as a research institution?
Well, it poses a fundamental conflict because, and it's one of the things we often say when meeting, not just with people from the FBI, but with others who want to discuss this issue, and that is, we give away knowledge, we give away intellectual property. We have students come here in the hope that they will take it back to their home country or their home state and use the information there. And so the idea that somehow this is wrong or that this information is being purloined, it's hard to steal something that, folks will give you on the street. Again, it's a tricky issue. I'm not downplaying that there might not be some serious security issues, but typically when we think about security, we think about assets that need to be secured. Is there a particular thing, a particular lab? If we use a radiological substance in a lab, we obviously tightly control who has access to that, as opposed to thinking about the identity of, what people are on the campus.
Talking to Fred Kate, Vice President of Research at Indiana University, looking at a request from the FBI for many research universities to, in some way, monitor students and researchers from China. How much of this, Fred, could be an intellectual property concern? I know research sometimes at public universities, including the University of Wisconsin, ends up being patented. There are intellectual property rights. There are concerns with China as a government or companies within China stealing that kind of intellectual property. Is that possibly part of the concern here?
I suspect it is part of the concern. And again, we do worry about protecting intellectual property, but realistically, very few universities have a great deal of intellectual property that they protect. I mean, if you look across the university, it would be a tiny percentage of what we do that ever gets protected as a trade secret or protected with a patent. The vast majority of what we do, we publish. You know, we want everyone to know. We'd be thrilled if another person would read about it. And so particularly in areas like healthcare, one area that there's been a lot of talk in the press about the FBI's concern about whether some of this information is being exfiltrated to China. Again, we generally want students to come here, learn cutting-edge medical techniques, and then take them back to wherever they live.
So if I was a researcher, though, in an area that had some kind of classified link, if I was contracting on a Department of Defense thing that did, I don't know, cybersecurity, there would already be protocols in place for who can and can't access that information, right?
Absolutely. So for universities that do undertake classified research, the funding requires that you restrict access only to people who have clearances and only to people who are specifically authorized by the funder, usually the DOD, but it could be somebody else in the government, to work on that research. And in fact, even some research that's not classified, if we get DOD funding, DOD will reserve the right to approve who can work on that research. Again, we totally understand that. If you give money, you attach conditions to it, we can either live with the conditions or not take the money. It's the kind of broader after the fact, watch everyone that we don't quite know what to do with.
Now, speaking of funding, another concern that the FBI has raised, I understand, with universities is taking funding from Chinese firms, notably Huawei. Back in May, the Commerce Department put Huawei on a trade blacklist. Why the focus on this particular company?
Well, again, I think the fear there, and I mean, there's been new evidence released even this week, is that Huawei is, in some cases, violated the sanctions regime by providing support to North Korea, and in other cases may have been used by the Chinese government to exfiltrate data from Huawei networks, not in China, but elsewhere. But even here, I think, we feel a little bit whipsawed because, of course, the president came back from his last summit and said, he was temporarily waiving the restrictions on Huawei. And so it's very hard when you're told one day to do one thing and then the next day the president says do something else to be clear on what is the responsible thing to do.
As a research university, when you look at taking money from, I guess, any company, do you consider what use it might be put to by that company, or in the case of something like Huawei, if that will be filtered through to the Chinese government and used for negative purposes?
We do consider that. I mean, we consider a lot of things. We, for example, we don't generally allow, we don't accept funding that involves restraint on publication. We want to know if we do the research that we can actually make it available. And so we'll accept, very short temporary limits, for example, to go out and file a patent. But we won't accept lasting limits. That research can be done elsewhere, but not at least at this university. And similarly, we always consider the source of the funding, what the research will be used for. I mean, again, as a public institution, we certainly have public obligations. Having said that, though, we also believe pretty strongly in academic freedom, which is that a researcher gets to make, rational choices about what he or she wants to research, provided that there's funding available to do it. And so we try to balance these competing interests all the time.
Now, this don't take money from Huawei appears to be just guidance, a request at this point. Could the federal government or some agency within it say Huawei's off the table, they can't fund research at public institutions anymore?
I think now it's moved beyond a request. I mean, the Department of Commerce maintains a list of entities that U.S. institutions are not permitted to do business with, and it's now listed on that. It's now included on that list of entities.
So, looking to the future now, what are you watching for next? More detail from the FBI on their request for monitoring of Chinese researchers. What are some of the next steps here?
So I think there are a lot of things. One is we are in active dialogue with the FBI, and we appreciate the chance to do so, to try to help focus so that we can spend our energy and scarce dollars on the things that would be most likely to actually protect against something that could threaten national security. And if that means identifying types of research that might be particularly sensitive or particularly targeted, we don't want anyone stealing that type of research, or particularly taking it until it's ready to be made made public. We've also suggested a broader dialogue in general between the national security community and the FBI and universities to try to, you know, set some rules of the road. So again, we know, you know, it's very clear if a law enforcement officer shows up and they have a warrant, we comply with it. That's what the law requires. But it's very hard when somebody shows up and sort of has some advice. And so we're trying to get to clearer procedures so that we know what we're doing and we know when we need to act and when we can just take advice as advice and do something different.
Fred, thanks a lot for joining us today.
A real pleasure and good luck.
That's Fred Cate, Vice President of Research at Indiana University. He specializes in information privacy and security law issues. We talked to him about the FBI's call for American universities to come up with protocols for monitoring certain Chinese students and researchers.